for all that you continue to do in our lives. We thank you for this day, Lord God, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. And now as we look to these 40 days of Lent, we come to journey with you, Lord Jesus. Remember your great sacrifice, your love for us. So we ask you, Lord, to bring us through this period, drawn closer to you. Touch our hearts, Lord Jesus. Touch our hearts. Touch our hearts. And speak, for we are listening. Speak gently and softly. Speak, Lord, speak boldly. Speak so that we can understand. Lord God, during this time, help us to have a holy Lent. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so here we are. We are beginning our journey. And my sermon title is The Do's and Don'ts of Holy Living. The Do's and Don'ts of Holy Living. One writer says, after Christmas comes a Lent. He says the necessary follow-up is that after Christmas comes Lent. That means after the, and you look at the liturgical calendar of the church, after Christmas and then the Epiphany and the baptism, then comes Lent. After all the joy and the excitement of Christmas, we then must go into a time of prayer and reflection and renewal, just as our Savior did. And what is Lent for those who might not know who are watching? Each year, Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent and is always 4 to 6 days before Easter Sunday. Lent is a 40-day season, not counting Sundays. So Sundays are called little resurrection, little Sundays. So on Sundays, you are, whatever you have given up or not given up, you can do it on that Sunday. We're hoping that you're worshiping the Lord. You're not really picking up what you lay down, but you're able to worship the Lord. We hope that you're not picking up what you lay down every week, because that would not be a good Lent. Amen? But at least you would be in church and worshiping the Lord, and so you would be in full worshiping the Lord in his full glory. So we do not count the Sundays. And so the 40 day of Lent is marked by repentance, fasting, reflection, prayer, and ultimately celebration. Because at the end of the Lenten season, we have Holy Week, which is a very hard week, and then we have the great celebration. Amen? The 40-day period represents Christ's time of temptation in the wilderness, where he fasted and where Satan tempted him. We know that Satan tempted him. We see that in the Gospel of Luke, the Luke narrative. He tempted Jesus several times for 40 days. And Jesus could not be tempted by Satan. Amen. And Satan himself will be trying to tempt us as we seek to draw closer to the Lord. Lent asks believers to set aside a time each year for the similar fasting and marking an intentional season of focus on Christ's life, his ministry, sacrifice, and resurrection. That's the season of Lent. We want to remember that. We want to focus. We want to be reading scriptures and praying and fasting and things like that that really brings us closer to the Lord. Ash Wednesday, often called the Day of Ashes, starts Lent by focusing the Christian's heart on repentance and prayer, usually through personal and communal confession. This happens during a special Ash Wednesday service where we come together to begin our Lenten journey. Friends, Jesus was always interested in the hearts of those who follow him. He always was and he always is. Always interested in what happens in the heart. Not what happens on the outside, but what happens in the heart. And hopefully if the heart is doing what it ought to be doing spiritually, then what we do on the outside will line up with what the heart is thinking. One writer says, God values all service. There are no such things as prominent service and obscure service. It is all the same to God. As long as we are doing it unto God, it is all the same to God, all of our service. So what are do's and don'ts? Right? Do's and don'ts are rules or customs concerning some activity. Right? As for example, it's important to know the do's and don'ts of a diplomatic reception. Right? Like you're going to somewhere fancy and they're going to tell you the do's and the don'ts. What you should do, what you should not do. We know if you go to fancy dinners and they have got a whole bunch of knives and forks and spoons set out on the side, and you are this poor little person, don't know, because at home you only had one knife and one fork. You know what I'm talking about. And then you go to this fancy place, they invite you, get all dressed up, and you sit at the table, and then you look and you say, which one do I use first or last? Do's and don'ts. And so the host or hostess will then tell you initially, there'd be a little book telling you what to do, what not to do, what goblet to drink from, what goblet not to drink from, right? Do's and don'ts. Jesus will also tell us and continues to tell us the do's and don'ts of holy living. Amen? Let's look at the timeline of Jesus for a minute, the timeline of his journey. Because now we're in chapter 6 of Matthew, but let's look at the timeline. Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, we begin with the temptation of Jesus. We see Jesus being tempted, and then we see Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee, and then he calls his disciples, and then Jesus ministers to the crowds. And we see that in chapter 4. He's getting ready to do his ministry. The season, the ordinary times, we call it, when he begins to do his ministry. And then we get to Matthew chapter 5, where we see the Beatitudes. He's now in his teaching mode. Jesus was a great teacher. And so now we see in chapter 5 the Beatitudes. He speaks about the blessed are those. And then we see him talking about salt and light, the law and the prophets, concerning anger, concerning adultery, concerning divorce, concerning oaths, concerning retaliation. And then he ends chapter 5 with love for enemies. Now the Pharisees were there and they were always questioning Jesus, always wanting to find out what is right, what is wrong, what is with the law, what is not with the law, and wanting to get their own interpretation. They believed they knew it all. So if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, many of the chapters in the beginning are Jesus is teaching, because the Matthew Gospel is written for Jewish believers at the time. Jewish followers, right? So he's speaking to Jewish folks predominantly, and he wants them to understand that he's really the fulfillment of what the law and the prophets said, and that there's certain things they should follow. But they were always pointing to the law, to the law. So now Jesus begins with his do's and his don'ts. And so we get to chapter 6, our chapter that we are focusing on, and he's going to tell us what to do and what not to do. And friends, we need to listen to this, because that's what we'll be expected to do or not do during Lent. This will help us, right? And this comes from the Lord. Amen? And he begins in Matthew 6, verse 1, concerning almsgiving, right? Concerning almsgiving. What did he say? He says, beware, the first don't. Don't. He said, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So he says, be careful of false piety. Be careful of false piety. You don't have to impress anyone but God. When we can't impress God, God sees our heart. Right? God knows our heart. We can't. So he said, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. Because your Father knows. So that's a don't. But then he gets to the do. He says, so whatever you give, or whenever you give alms, because alms would be your offering, so to speak, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they'll receive praise. For truly I tell you, they have received their reward. So the first do and don't. Don't do this, but do this. Right? So don't, be practicing whatever you're given and march up with it and doing whatever so people can see. Don't do it. False piety, Jesus tells us. And then he continues. He goes on to concern in prayer. And certainly Jesus was not really speaking of corporate prayer, but he was speaking of a prayer that the Pharisees had a tendency, when they were going to pray, they had to march up to the front to pray so everybody could see them, how holy they are and how much they can pray. And Jesus says, here's the first don't on the prayer, the next don't. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. He says, don't do it. But, when he gives you a but, or a nevertheless, but, that's the do now. But, I tell you, whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who will know your heart. Amen?
Amen.
And then he says concerning fasting. If you're going to fast and you're going to give up your lunch, or you're going to give up chocolate, or you're going to give up whatever you think you ought to give up, or you think you're going to give up, you're saying, and whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and show others that they're fasting. So some people are now talking about, oh, you're going to fast and don't gossip, you're going to fast and don't watch TV or social distance or social media. Whatever you're going to do, don't be mean when you do it. If you're going to fast and not watch, anything on social media or on Facebook, and you're going to be mean, please go watch it. Because if it's going to make you upset and mean to the next person, then you're not doing a holy Lent. So it says, remember when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces as to show others that they're fasting. He says, truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, you should oil your face, oil your head, wash your face. What he's saying here, be humble before the Lord, for it is between you and God. Amen? It is between you and God. So if you choose not to eat, to skip a meal, to skip meat, to skip whatever you think you're going to skip, or to fast from whatever you're going to, it is between you and God. So do it joyfully or don't do it at all. Amen? And then he gives us another do and don't. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. Now today I heard a well-known commentator passed away, and not just him, yeah, Larry King, who passed away. And now I heard, I thought it popped up on my phone when I was coming in, Rush Limbaugh passed away. Today I guess, or it might have been yesterday, I don't know. And these men are well-known, and were multi-millionaires, and all of that, right? And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter all the things they have here on earth. And there's some poor folks who have passed away too. Yesterday, today, right now. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to God. Right? It matters here on earth. They could leave all their possessions and whatever to their family, but to God it doesn't matter. They will be judged just like the poor person who had nothing, who was not a millionaire. It doesn't matter. And I'm praying and hoping for them that they did not store up all of their treasures here, that they did not store up all their treasures here on earth. Because certainly moth and rust will consume it, because somebody else is going to get it. And what they do with it, we can do nothing about. Right? He's telling us, don't do that. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. That all of us, rich or poor, male or female, whatever social location we come from, whatever race we are, whatever we do, when we stand before God, we will be judged accordingly. We will be judged by God. God will judge us according to how we have lived for Christ, that we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that we have seek to live righteously before Christ here on earth. So that's when you're putting your treasures, right? We're putting our treasures in heaven by trusting in the Lord. So during this Lenten period, this is a very good scripture to remind us what not to do and what we should do. We should do for holy living. And so what we should do for holy living, we should remember that when we're giving, we should give from the heart. We should remember that when we're praying, our prayers are between us and God. When we're fasting, it is that we're doing it because we want to draw closer to God. And when we give up something during Lent, friends, and something that we really like, because it's normally a luxury, right? Let's say I don't like cheese. I never eat cheese and I've never liked cheese. If I say to someone, I'm giving up cheese, am I not lying? Because I don't eat cheese, right? You want to give up something you love. Right? Something you love, and that it's going to be, then when you give it up, especially a meal, then we use the time to read the word and draw closer to God. If not, all of that would be in vain, won't it? And so Jesus wants us to know that, and certainly to remind all of us where we should put our treasures. We should put our treasures in the one who will watch over it, who will take care of it, because he gave us his very best in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so the prophet Joel tells us what we should do during Lent. The prophet Joel tells us, he said, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart." That's what we need to do during Lent. Return to me with all your heart, Jesus says. With all your heart, with all of our hearts to return to him. With fasting, with weeping, with mourning, rend your hearts and not your clothing. He says, don't rend the outside stuff. That's just to show people. But rend your heart. When you rend your heart is when you go before God with a broken and contrite spirit. Right? Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord your God. For he is what? He's gracious and merciful. And slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Friends, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're watching online and you don't have, remember this is an opportunity to do that. Return to the Lord, for he's slow to anger and abounding in love for you and for me. Amen? And he says, and he's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents from punishing. Because God does not want to punish us. And he says, who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him. So this is a time when we want to go to the Lord. Go. He says, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the children, even the infants at the breast. And let the bridegroom leave his room and the bridal canopy. Let us draw close to God, the prophet Joel is telling us. Let us draw close to him during Lent. Let us spend the time in deep prayer. deep repentance and repentance and reflection and hope and pray that we will be renewed at the end of this season. That we use this Lenten time to draw close to the Lord. Scripture tells us, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you and to me. He will not reject us. So we are going to work hard. Join me, friends, as I said on my program this morning. Join me in deep prayer. We have a lot to pray for, friends. We don't have to wait till somebody else prays for us. Please, the Lord is pleading. He wants to hear from you and from me. So we're going to draw close to God and pray to God and seek God. And we could ask ourselves this question, you know, how is my prayer life? How is my prayer life? And if your prayer life is not as it ought to be, then during Lent you could make it that way. Amen? You could make your prayer life the way it ought to be. How is my Bible study? Am I reading God's Word? How am I in the Word? And then begin to take the time to read God's Word. Friends, I tell you, we need prayer more than we ever needed it before. And the songwriter says, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Although Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Amen? And so Jesus is the prayer is the key to the heart of God, and Jesus opens the door. Amen? So during this Lenten time, will you not draw close to God in prayer? I pray for you this day that you'll have a holy Lent. And remember, if you fall off, if I fall off one day, remember you get right up the next day and keep going. Because God is faithful and just. And He's long-suffering and forgiving. Amen. And now we've come to the time as we come today, we will do the invitation to the observance of the Lenten discipline, right? Amen? And we will, I will read that for you and remind you of why we do this. And I will bless the ashes. I think you all have your ashes, those who are here, little bags of ashes that was, we left them on the table outside. And for those who have your ashes at home, I'll bless it. And we can then, we will be able to give ourselves that mark of understanding that remember we're dust, and to dust we will return. Amen?